Night. We're still celebrating the 10 days of prayer. Make sure that you go through the prayer sheet. It's good to see Brother Merlin and Sister Brenda here joining us and all the other visitors. God is in control. He's on the throne. And if you were in Israel today, right now, you would be at the point of celebration because Yom Kippur was celebrated today, and the high priest came out. He came out of the Holy of Holies. Our sins were redeemed. Our sins were covered. So they really, really celebrate. The sun is set here. I'm not sure if it's set over there yet. But at that point in time, as soon as that sun goes down, the celebration, another celebration begins. So there should be rejoicing in your spirit because God has given you more grace, more freedom, another opportunity to go into another year under His blessings and under His grace. You know, as we've been going through these 10 days, different things have been brought out about how God is moving and the churches are being in unity. And we're going to keep that going. We don't want that to stop at all, because we know that God is moving in this time period. And we know that we're going to be a part of that. God has called His church to be the Philadelphia church. He's not changed His mind about that at all. And everything that goes forth with being the Philadelphia church is ours to claim and ours to proclaim in this season. When you go through your prayers for the rest of this night, remember how much God loves you and how much He is invested in you, because He's set you apart for this time and for this season to be used by Him. Father, I just thank You for the anointing that's here. You're flowing through Your people. You're changing and rearranging. And You're causing us to become deeper in You. We thank You, Father, that any second heaven resistance is being pulled down now as Your holy angels are going forth and destroying all works of darkness. And we thank You, Father God, that we don't have to be in fear of the enemy, but we can stand in boldness and the holiness and the righteousness that Jesus Christ provided for us in this season. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're going to be talking about On the Attack, Dark Forces Against God. And this teaching comes out of the book He Came to Set the Captives Free by Dr. Rebecca Brown. If you don't have this, I highly recommend that you get it. It's something that you need to keep in your arsenal. And we constantly refer back to this because there's so much good information in it to remind you of what goes on in the satanic realm, but also to see the goodness of God and the power that comes from His exorcism. You know, we're dealing with dark forces every day, every moment of every second of every day. And we need each other, but we also need the Holy Spirit to be speaking to us and saying what's going on so that we can combat those forces. There should not be a moment of any day that you go through without asking the Holy Spirit, hey, what's going on? Is there something that you need to share with me? Something that you need to tell me? Because things are happening fast. We are definitely in the acceleration of times that the Bible talks about, and this isn't my message. And we need to be prepared instant, in season and out, because you never know what is going to happen or what's going to take place. And you never know what God is going to need you to do in that moment. So, you know, we've been saying this, but I believe the Spirit of the Lord wants you to know tonight that the playtime has long been over. It's long been over. We have to become more and more serious about the work of God, because it's not just us. It's not just for fame or notoriety. These are souls that God is sending in here. He's sending them into this building. And they need a deep touch. And we can't be in the way of what God is doing. We really can't. We have to stay together. We cannot fall apart. You just can't. Because you never know when things are going to be needed. The anointing in your life that God has placed upon you is going to be needed. Is that real? Tonight, like I said, we're going to be talking about dark forces against God. But this really is destruction of Christian churches. And I got some scriptures together because I need for you to understand how serious this is when God is talking about witchcraft. And everyone should have a sheet, and you can follow along with me. We're going to look at Exodus 22:18. You shall not permit a sorceress to live. You shall not permit a sorceress to live. Too many times the church is playing with dark things. And God has called these dark things to be killed. And we can't have friendship with them, fellowship with them, and expect God to continue to move in our midst. They have to die. And people in the church are looking at New Age stuff. They're looking for supernatural impartations to take place, and they don't understand that they're dealing with witchcraft. So right there, there's your scripture. It's not supposed to live. It's supposed to die. It's supposed to be killed. Revelation 21:8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Sorcerers cover so many different things. It could be reading your horoscope. It could be getting a reading. You know, a lot of people call what we do in the prophetic getting a reading, but that really came from the dark side. You know, when you go in and sit before a psychic and the psychic tells you your future and they tell you different things that they tell you, they're operating out of that realm. It's demonic. And those things are not of God. Micah 3:7. So the seers shall be ashamed and the diviners abashed. This is all witchcraft. Indeed, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. In Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 to 13, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer. It's plain. Or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. This is how serious this is. There are people who are in the church who do not think that there is anything wrong with witchcraft. You're going to meet these people. Here are the answers that you can provide to them to help them see that witchcraft is wrong. If you don't know this, the practice of witchcraft is one of Satan's strongest weapons that he uses to attack the church. He's persistent at it. They never quit. They're constantly thinking about different things to do to harm and attack the body of Christ. They hate us with a passion. They do not want us to go forth. They want to see us destroyed. And you have to have this in the back of your mind at all times. Some of the witchcraft is in the open, but most of it is hidden. And if you're not in the spirit, you won't even know that this witchcraft is taking place against you. The church needs to understand that the forces of darkness are on the attack. We need to know what the demons are doing, what Satan himself is doing to destroy churches. This book was written back in the 90s. I believe it was 1992. And everything in it is still relevant today. They're still doing the same thing. If you look at the things that are going on in the world, they're doing the same things. They're practicing the same evil. It hasn't gotten, it's not any different. Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. So we have to take these tools and these resources that God has given us and use them. It's often that the Holy Spirit says that we're not using all of the tools at our disposal. And we need to change that. We need to fix that. Let me give you a little bit of background on Dr. Rebecca Brown. She was became a Christian, started serving the Lord, and then God caused her to get into deliverance and exorcism. Her first encounter with doing deliverance and exorcism, God had her move a witch into her home, and she did deliverance on her as often and as much as the Lord told her to do this. The witch's name was Elaine. Elaine, in this book, tells you everything that she went through. Tells you how she got involved in witchcraft. Tells you the different things that she did. How to cast spells. How she used martial arts. How she invoked spirits to come into her being. She also talks about how she went into churches as a witch to destroy the churches, to attack the leaders, to attack the people. And this is a real thing. And this is going on today. And this is why this is so important that during these 10 days of prayer that we realize we have an active enemy who is determined to take us out. But we have to be even more determined to survive and to do what the Lord is telling us to do, to defeat those dark forces. So with Elaine, Dr. Rebecca Brown started being led of the Spirit on how to do deliverance on her and to cast the spirits out of her. And there came a point in their relationship where Elaine had these power demons. And Dr. Brown told her, you either get rid of the power demons or you go out into the world. There are people in the church today who have these power demons. And they think that they're from God and they're not. You need to get rid of them or just go out into the world. It's that simple. These power demons are going to take you to hell. They're not going to do anything good for you. When you look at the end results of what happens in witchcraft, these people go into mental institutions and they never come out. When the devil's done with you, he completely spits you up and throws you away. But you think that you're doing something to people who are involved in this, and you're not. So this is how serious this is. So God walked Dr. Brown through everything that she needed to do to get Elaine out of this high-level witchcraft. And this is chapter 17, and it starts on page 233. So Elaine talks. She says, during my years in the Brotherhood, I was carefully trained and in turn trained others how to infiltrate and destroy the various Christian churches. Satan's goal was to make every Christian church like the Church of Laodicea, Revelations 3:14-16. And the angel of the Church of Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. When you're in this lukewarm state, nothing matters. You don't care about God. You don't care about serving God. Anything goes. So God is telling this church, the Laodiceans, that it would be better if you just either left me or you served me with all of your heart. And we're going into the dispensation where we're going to serve him with all of our heart. We're not lukewarm because God has said, once again, we're the Philadelphia church. The church is full of passive people who never bother to read or study the Bible, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, as so well described in 2 Timothy 3:5. They're not a threat to Satan. Witches and warlocks are taught an 8-point method of attack on all Christian churches. Witches and warlocks go to church. If you're not aware of this, they do. We've had them come in here and try to attack and separate and divide all through the years. And God shows us who they are. We do what God tells us to do in each case, and because each case is different. Sometimes the witch or the warlock gets saved. Sometimes they realize that they can't defeat God and they move on. So you really have to be in the spirit to discern what exactly God wants to be done. Acts 20, verses 25 to 31. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you. Savage wolves. This is somebody with ill intentions. They don't mean us any good. Savage. They're going to destroy. They're going to rip apart as much as they can. They will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day of tears. This is how serious Paul took this. 2 Corinthians 11:13 to 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. They look good, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. You hear what I'm saying? They look like they're Christians. But when you really examine their fruit, they're not. And we have to start opening our eyes and getting the discernment of the Lord to be able to know who walks amongst us. And the only way that this is going to come is by you being in prayer. You being in an intimate relationship with the Lord so that you have that connection. Because it looks so good. It sounds so good. They really are that deceptive. And if you're not in the Spirit, you won't see them. You won't see them coming until after they've done and they're pulling a knife out of your back. Or you're going to try to rescue someone who's been destroyed and ravaged by them. Elaine says the following. Please do not forget my own experience. The little church I was sent to destroy knew that I was a witch, but they did not publicly expose me or challenge me. If they had done so, I would have been killed immediately. Instead, they loved me, controlled me so that I could not bring in destructive doctrine, and prayed for me until I was finally saved. This is the path that we have to take. Sometimes you get told no. Is your flesh going to rise up and say, I don't need to listen to you and not do what you tell me to do? Or are you going to be obedient to the Spirit of God and do what he's asking you to do? Attack method number one. Satanists must make a profession of faith. He or she must pretend to be saved in order to gain credibility with the church people. We've seen this in churches who have altar calls. The person will go forward, usually with tears, and pretend to get saved. If the particular church is a charismatic church, which places great emphasis on the gift of speaking in tongues, the Satanist will speak in tongues. This is no problem. Demons can speak in tongues very easily. This is true. This is happening. Remember that when I was indwelt by Manchan, Manchan was one of her strongest demons. This was a demon that she used to work witchcraft. I was able to address any of the foreign dignitaries in their own language fluently. This is how strong this speaking in tongues is in the demonic realm. This is why the Lord places such an emphasis on interpretation of tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:26-28. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation? Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or three at the most, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. How much damage is done because churches do not heed this simple warning? It is the custom in charismatic churches for many people to speak and pray in tongues at the same time without interpretation during their services and prayer meetings. Satan has taken great advantage of this. During the time I served Satan, I spoke in tongues regularly in all the meetings and prayer meetings. So did the other Satanists I was working with. No one interpreted. We were cursing the church, the pastor, the members, and God, and no one knew. See how important it is for us to listen to the Holy Spirit and do the things that He's asking us to do? This former witch is explaining everything that they did in order to gain credibility in these churches. And if you listen to somebody's tongues and you're in the Spirit, you can tell whether or not they're real or they're fake. You can tell whether or not they're real or they're demonic. But if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get that. And then when you really start looking at that person's fruit and see that there is none, that's the biggest sign there that something's wrong, something's off. One of the areas of greatest confusion amongst Christians is the belief that Satanists cannot just say the name Jesus. Satanists can and do use the name of Jesus, and I've seen this myself. They can teach and preach about Jesus. They can use the name of Jesus in prayer, etc. The one thing that they can't do is pass the test given in 1 John 4. And this is Elaine talking. She's telling us her experiences. They cannot look you square in the eye and say, Jesus Christ, who is God, who came in the flesh, died on the cross, and 3 days later arose from the grave, and now sits at the right hand of God the Father, this Jesus is my Lord and Savior and Master. Oh, they can say Jesus saved me, but which Jesus are they talking about? Jesus himself said that many would come claiming to be him. They can also read or repeat a confession or profession of faith in Jesus Christ. They can and do read the scriptures. It's real. Attack method number two, build credibility. Satanists can build credibility within Christian churches in many ways. Depending upon the particular church, they are regular attendees. They can be counted upon to always be ready and willing to help in any project. Not only do they build credibility in this way, but they also get to know the church and its members. It doesn't take long for them to find out who is truly committed to Christ and who is not. Money is another big tool. If the church is a large and wealthy one, they give regularly, gradually increasing the amounts. They give until they are one of the main supporters of the church financially. In small churches where the members are mostly poor, they do not flash around a lot of money, but gradually and carefully increase their giving until many of the programs within the church become dependent upon their financial support. Of course, the brotherhood provides the money they give, and money talks. Sometimes the pastors, because they're poor and they don't have any resources or finances, are dependent upon people who tithe. Satanists can take advantage of this and can start controlling the church by saying, "We're going to stop our tithing if you don't do what we tell you to do." They do this. Attack method number three. Destroy the prayer base. We're in the 10 days of prayer. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The single most important goal of Satan is to knock prayer out of the church. The single most important goal of Satan is to knock prayer out of the church. A strong church is a praying church. Prayer requires self-discipline, and unfortunately, the majority of Christians spend very little time in prayer. It's sad because when you look at many churches that run into thousands, there are five or six people who come to prayer meeting. That's a sad state. Even in the smaller churches, when they're running 10 and 50, there's two or three people who are regularly committed prayer warriors. There have often been times when Satanists or demons will come into a church in person and disrupt the prayer meeting or stop it. If you have people coming in talking, gossiping, and no prayer is going forth because the people are distracted, and without strong leadership in prayer, that church is destroyed. If you take the prayer base out of the church falls. The church cannot stand without prayer. You as an individual can't stand in a church without prayer. Attack method number four, rumors. This is what Satanists do. Once the prayer base of the church has been destroyed, the Satanists are free to do just about anything they want. One of the easiest things is to use rumors. Gossip is Satan's prime tool. Very few people are strong enough to not pass along a rumor that they've heard. Satanists can easily destroy the credibility of the pastor and the true Christians within a church by starting rumors. We encourage all church leaders to be very careful. Never go alone to the home of a member of the church of the opposite sex to help or counsel. You can be framed so easily even if you did nothing wrong. Who can prove it? Many a pastor's career has been destroyed by just such setups. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." Every Christian would do well to carefully follow that scripture. Attack method number five, teach and change doctrines. The church does not know the word of God, and any person can come in with a false prophetic word that sounds so good and they will believe it. That word is twisted just a little bit and everybody goes running and believing it. And the scripture base is so far off and so far pulled to the left or to the right, no one recognizes it. Listen to this. Satanists particularly coveted teaching positions within the church. They want to be teachers. They want to control what is taught. They can do tremendous damage in these positions. Do you really know where all of your Sunday school teachers stand with the Lord? This is Elaine. Do you really know just what they were teaching to your children or to anyone else for that matter? Elaine goes on to say that she taught Sunday school in a large, Bible-believing, charismatic church in her hometown for several years and led and taught the youth choir while at the same time serving Satan. This happens. This is happening. Do not be deceived. A number of ministers of large and wealthy churches in our country are Satanists. Their influence is far-reaching, and they get away with doing what they want to do because Christians everywhere are too lazy to study their own Bibles to check out what they're saying. Sometimes everything that's being preached across whatever platform you're listening at is not right. And you need to be able to discern whether this is right or whether it's wrong. And then make the decision to stop listening to that. You're putting this junk in your spirit, man, and then you wonder why you're all confused and don't understand what God is really saying. We have to be selective. You need to know the Word so well. You need to be so close to the Holy Spirit that your spirit will say, no, that's not right. It's not right. You have Christian leaders and communities right now who are dabbling in witchcraft. And they don't care. They're promoting it. They're pushing it. There are three basic areas Satanists teach most about. Area number one, prayer. They make prayer a very complicated procedure. And we've seen this come through in some of the prophetic people. Somehow prayer gets to be something that's just so ridiculous. It's like, wait, what? Why can't we just sit down and be with the Lord? Chances are there's a Satanist behind that thing that's going on. They often teach that there are a number of steps the believer must go through to be sure they're in right relationship with God before they have any power in prayer or even before God will hear them. They use and twist many scriptures to make their false doctrines look legitimate. Untold numbers of people are discouraged from praying at all because prayer is presented as such a burdensome and complex thing. This ought not to be. This is area number one that Satanists attack, prayer. Area number two, one of the most destructive satanic doctrines of today is the health and wellness, health and wealth message. And we all say amen. Creflo Dollar just confessed to saying that he should have never taught the tithing principles that he taught. The doctrines of money and finances and having faith that he taught. He was wrong. He confessed it. Whether he actually means it or not is a whole other thing. But it gained him more credibility and popularity with the people because they said, oh, he apologized. He acknowledged he was wrong. So they're still sitting there. Didn't move, didn't change, nothing. Benny Hinn did the same thing not too long ago. He apologized for the prosperity gospel that he preached. They're still there. You can't take that stuff to Africa, India, or China where these people are poor and tell them if you start serving Jesus, you're automatically going to become rich. Cut your head off. It's from the Satanists. They know exactly what they're doing, and this stuff is not right. But we in the church want to believe it because we want money, and we're greedy, and we're selfish. It's not right. It's not of God. Area number three, the love doctrine. You can't say anything negative to anybody because if you do, you're hurting their feelings, and you're going to cause them to leave the church. This is a doctrine from the Satanists, and they have implanted this in the church. And you can't tell anyone anything without them getting offended and being mad and never coming back. Or staying there and just being rebellious and not straightening it up. These people are going to leave anyway. And the body of Christ has a big problem with telling people, no, you can't do that. You can't live this way. You're not walking in holiness. You're not walking in purity. And this is why the church is in the state that it is in today, because we won't tell people the truth, that you have to live in holiness and righteousness. Then we wonder why people are so bound with so many demons, so many doctrines of devils that are on the inside of them, and we, the church, can't get them set free because we're not living pure and holy. Attack method number six, break up family units. How long has the prophetic church been preaching about this? the apostles, the evangelists, the teachers, the preachers, how long have they been saying, listen to this? Satan knows that if he can successfully break up the family unit, he will also break up the unity of the church, and I might add, of our nation. Satanists with Christian churches work hard to separate families. They start all sorts of programs for teenagers, school age, and preschool children. They develop separate programs for women and men so as to keep the parents separated as much as possible. Children need to listen to the sermons and join in prayer meetings just as much as the parents. And this is coming from a former witch. This is their tactic. All through the Bible, the principle of learning by joining in with parents has shown children to learn respect both for God and the church. How? By learning to sit quietly in the church and listening to the pastor. Immediately after programs are provided for young children, separating them from the main church services, they lose respect for the pastor in the church. They don't have to sit and listen to the pastor. He or she is just too boring. This is the attitude they quickly develop. And we're responsible for this, church. We're allowing this to come in. This is Elaine. She's telling us the truth. Attack method number 7. Stop all accurate teaching about Satan. Stop all accurate teaching about Satan. So many people in the church today don't believe that Satan is even real. And it's because the Satanists get inside of the churches and they stop the truth from being told. They stop you from teaching about hell. Oh, you can't talk about that because you're scaring me. You're scaring my children. And we all know that hell isn't real. Look at Carlton Pearson. He used to be a mightily anointed man of God, but somehow he got hooked into a teaching that said that there is no hell. And look at the destruction and the weight of that destruction that has taken over his life. There's so many other things that Satanists use and teach, and they're wrong. And the church is falling for these things, hook, line, and sinker. One of the major goals of Satan and his servants is to prevent any teaching about him or his activities. As long as people remain ignorant about Satan, he is relatively unhindered in anything he chooses to do. Satanists are always commanded to prevent any teaching about Satan within the churches they attend. The excuses are many. They say that any teaching about Satan gives him glory. It takes people's minds off the Lord and tempts people to turn to Satan, etc. God's word clearly teaches much about Satan and warns us that if we are ignorant about our enemy, he will surely gain an advantage over us. Beware the very church members who complain the loudest about any teaching about Satan and his tactics. They will probably turn out to be Satanists themselves. Attack method number 7. Direct attacks by witchcraft. Direct attacks by witchcraft against key members of the church. I've experienced this. I've seen Pastor Barber go through this. I've seen other ministers of the Lord go through this. This is 100% accurate. You are probably going through this right now yourself and not even aware of it. This is another reason why it's so important. Any pastor and church leader and or church members who are really taking a stand for the Lord against Satan will come under tremendous attack by witchcraft. They will be afflicted with all sorts of physical illnesses. They will go through difficulties in concentrating, confusion, fatigue, difficulties in praying, etc. The leaders of any church must be continuously upheld in prayer and interceded for by the members of the congregation. Once the prayer base is lost, the pastors and leaders face these attacks alone. Once the prayer base is lost, the pastors and leaders face these attacks alone. Often they are overcome. And that is why Paul asked his fellow Christians to pray for him at the end of almost every letter he wrote. The incredible number of powerless, dead Christian churches in our land today is a testimony to the success of Satan's carefully planned tactics. Our prayer is that every Christian reading those words will go to the Lord in prayer and seek guidance as to how to fight such attacks within his or her own church. I think I got my numbers mixed up. I just wanted to verify. So that last number 7 should have been 8. But this is where we're at today. This is not a new battle, but this is one that we have to be consistent at. We have to persist in being in prayer, not just for us, but for our fellow brothers and sisters. For the leaders that we have over top of us. You have an important role in the body of Christ as a member of the church. And it's not just to warm up you, it's also to engage in warfare. And as we're going through these prayer days, you need to remember this also, and to keep your leaders lifted up in prayer. Keep each other lifted up in prayer, because this is how the enemy is being defeated and stopped at all turns. We're often reminded about how, you know, people who are born, if no one prays for them, they immediately go over to the dark side. If you know people that are in your life, they're going through a hard time, try to look and identify if they're even being prayed for. And then ask the Lord if you're supposed to take up that prayer mantle for them. He'll tell you yes or no. If you're not, that's okay. But if you are, then take up that mantle and do what the Lord is telling you to do. Because you could pluck them out of the very fires of hell just by interceding. And ask anyone who does this on a regular basis. It's not hard. When you do it, you really feel the pressure, you feel the burden, you feel the person, and you know exactly what's going on in their lives. So God is wanting us to become more spiritual, but he's also wanting us to understand that these attacks are going to continuously come, not because we're doing anything wrong, but because the devil just wants to stop us. Just wants to stop us. The Lord wants to touch you tonight. He wants to give you the will to fight this battle that we're in. He wants to give you an anointing that will help you persevere through these different witchcraft attacks that are coming, the ones that you're going through now. So the altar is open for you to receive a touch from Him that will give you the stability and the security that you need in Him to withstand these attacks.